B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Welcome back to the Mike Missinelli Show. Just tuning in right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. I'm Anthony Gargano. In for Mikey Miss, a couple R&R days. Did Mikey go to the beach?
Yeah, I think he's down the shore. Yeah, he had some friends in town last week, so
nice.
They were going down
he's
to.
He's a good entertainer.
I know he was having this dinner party. Were you listening?
No, I didn't hear.
And he ran down the whole menu.
Did he really?
Oh yeah. The homemade gnocchi, like the whole nine. Yeah. Does the homemade sauce? Talks about he's having tiramisu for dessert. And me and Tyrone are sitting here, and we're like, Mike. When is our turn to come over for dinner?
So he's not cooked for you yet?
He said he's going to.
Yeah.
Because we gave him pretty hard time about it. Because he just laid out the menu and an arugula salad.
Guys over. Nice.
I know.
Because he's a gifted chef.
I've heard great things about his food. I've yet to try
it. Although, I want
to
stack up. We should have our own gravy down.
Oh my God, let's do it.
Yeah.
That would be so fun.
Yeah.
We'll make a whole day out of it. It'll be great.
All right. Because I like to do it. I just make a couple things, but I make them well.
Yeah.
So I made gnocchis yesterday for the kids.
I love that you say gravy, by the way.
Do you do the home?
It's just what it is. It wasn't even a true gravy. It was more tomato sauce. There was no meat in it. It's like meat when it's gravy, there's meat in it.
That's the distinction, right, for people who don't know.
Yeah, that's it. But, but it's fun because he's really good. And I love it, too, because I do my mother did it.
Yeah.
What did she do? My favorite is the crabs and spaghetti.
Oh, that's... Now, you make that often, don't you?
Yeah, I do that. Yeah, I do that a few times a year.
That's my favorite, too.
Yeah.
The spaghetti and crab.
Because I'll make it sit. Like, I clean the crabs.
Oh, so good.
So I go down to Anastasi's. I get my... My crabs.
Mm-hmm.
And clean them. Nice. The backs are off. They're clean. And then I let it soak in the tomato sauce for hours, just a simmer, and so the sauce just tastes like the sea.
Yeah,
and it tastes like the crab.
I love the crab.
Yeah,
so good.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is there's going to be a gathering at the Gargano household soon.
That too. We'll do a tour.
Well, we'll do the whole thing. We should do it, and Mike and I will do the dueling. We'll make our dueling dishes.
Okay.
And we'll have a silent vote.
That'll be great.
All right?
Yeah. I'll bring something.
Just vote for him, though, because it'd be good. If he loses, he would
know. Oh, we would never let it down.
No, man. just vote for Mike.
Okay.
I love him. He's talented, though. He really is. He's just joining us. We're doing lots of, obviously, Philly's reaction to losing the last two games of that series against the Padres when you had all the momentum in the world. It's uncanny that they can't get a win streak longer than five games.
There's no sustenance because it's inconsistent. Because the pitching is, quite honestly, really bad.
It's unbelievable. Like, you think even bad teams will reel off six, seven, eight in a row.
The Tigers have won more games in a row than the Phillies have this year.
It's unbelievable. And when they won Friday, they beat Paddock Friday night, I'm like, I swore they were sweeping the Padres.
Yeah, you get Lamet and Lucchese. You got to win one of those.
Do you know what? It's a shame because Lamet's not bad. He's got some decent stuff. Throws pretty hard. But Lucchese's that kind of BS lefty.
He's just funky, man.
And they just said they struggled, and you could see it. And you can't, I don't understand when you have a guy scuffling like Hoskins, how you put him up the top of the order. Like, I don't know how you do that.
You know, and we talked about it before the show. I know that hitters, they don't have that, he goes to the bottom of the lineup, he gets more fastballs. But he goes to the bottom of the lineup, he clears his head a little bit. He doesn't have to be the leadoff guy, the run producer. He's just a guy in the lineup. He's Cesar Hernandez.
Well, and I wouldn't put him that low, but I'd hit him fifth.
Oh, so you wouldn't go all the way to seven?
No, I would put him in fifth. I just want him to get a little bit more comfortable. But when you lead off, it's way more pressure. Because here's the problem. He's going to want to see pitches.
Yeah, he's looking for a walk.
Because they're taught to see pitches. And it's like you can't have a guy that's in his own head in a bad slump and expect him to lead off. He's not going to get fastballs. He's going to, if he does, early in the count, he's going to get them, and he's going to take them.
Because he's the leadoff hitter.
Exactly.
And you're looking at pitches.
I just disagree with it. And they're talking about all the pressure on Carson. Stephen A. Smith said, and it was pretty much a hot take, but it's an interesting kind of debate. He said that Nick Foles will always be the legend over Carson Wentz. That Carson Wentz will never reach Nick Foles status. The legend status.
So you mean we can't put a statue of Carson while he still plays?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. He's got to win. There is just more pressure. With this offense around, there's more pressure. The good thing is that Doug Peterson is the perfect coach for him.
Yes.
He's the perfect coach.
Yeah, he is.
He's going to run the ball.
Uh-huh.
They'll run the ball. Still be third and four, and he'll run the ball at times. He's going to, he'll know what right buttons to push. The thing that really amazed me by Peterson as the coach is not X and O and being creative. And yes, he's creative in that sense. But when I heard Brett Favre talk about Doug, it was leading up to the Super Bowl. And Brett Favre said that Doug Peterson always had the right thing to say. He knew what to say. And it's funny because I remember being critical of Doug in his first year going, what are you doing? You're going for it, fourth and seven. What are you doing? And then it kind of dawns on you that the real gift is not, you know, the X and O acumen. He's got that. That stuff that you get better at as you start being a play caller and that sort of thing. But his true gift as a coach is being a leader.
And a communicator.
Yes.
And just reinforcing.
The guy's a great leader.
Yeah. And you can tell, by the way, the locker room rallies around him.
Yeah.
They want to go out there and they want to play for him. It's evident.
Do you remember the Super Bowl year where the first game they put, I guess it was game one, wasn't it? Where they put the Gatorade, they gave him the Gatorade bath?
Yes.
And I remember, and shame on me, because I remember mocking it. Going, yo, guys, really? We're doing Gatorade baths for game one? Like, what's this, college? And, like, as I think back to that moment, I was so out of line. I was so wrong for thinking that. And it was only because they knew what kind of pressure and what kind of, look, the first year was tough and he had a tough year and, you didn't expect, he didn't have a great team, but they loved him.
Mm-hmm.
They played for him. And I remember thinking later that I should have saw that how much they loved playing for him and that he's the perfect guy. You know, it's funny because Gabe wants to be their confidant and their friend in that sense and always take the positive. But the guy who actually does it in a real way is Peterson. Doug does it in the real way.
Yeah, he's always, I think, been very genuine with how he approaches the players and how he approaches the media and the fan base.
Yeah.
He's never really, hid anything or tried to keep things in a certain way.
Exactly. And he also, what I appreciate is that, look, there's certain things. You're a football coach and you just can't divulge. You can't say, and I get it. But he's not trying to completely snow you.
Right.
Well, he's not telling you, hey, those guys walked through the desert and took all those pitches. Like, he's not giving you that kind of hyperbole.
Right.
And I respect, and it's funny because everything that I believe Gabe wants to be, Peterson really is.
Now, do you think that that's something that would just come with a little bit more time? Being that Kapler doesn't even necessarily have the coaching experience prior.
Doug didn't either.
Right.
Remember,
right. He was coaching high school football.
Exactly.
Right.
He was an offensive coordinator under an offensive coach.
Yeah.
And I love, Andy did him a solid, giving you the whole, he called plays. Andy called all the plays. We know that.
Yeah.
Which is fine. But, he didn't have the experience. Same like Gabe. He had very limited experience. Now, what he had, and Gabe was a player. Doug was a player. Doug watched like Gabe was a backup, that kind of player. And Doug being a backup quarterback, being in meetings, being around the league, He absorbed everything, and you know how to handle. You know how to talk to people. That's his greatest gift. You look at the difference. You look at Chip Kelly, and you look at Doug Peterson. The difference is who knows how to talk to people.
It's really just their personality,
right?
Chip didn't know how to talk to anybody.
No, and all kidding aside, because we could be crass and we could mock, but emotional intelligence, that Jeffrey Lurie quote was dead on.
Yeah.
Dead on. Emotional intelligence is very important. And you saw from Kelly.
And you're not the only one that said, you know, when you talked about the Gatorade bath and you thought it wasn't right at the time and you look back, we all saw the first couple of press conferences where Doug Peters, oh shucks, and all that kind of stuff. We thought he was this, you know, not knowing anything, you know, doesn't have any experience coach, much like we looked at Charlie Manuel the same way. They both ascended and proved to us that they were legitimate baseball and football guys.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a leeway. I knew Charlie when I covered baseball, and so I knew Charlie a little bit when he was the hitting coach for the Indians. I covered a couple of those runs that he had, and I have a buddy of mine who played for him, David Segui. David played for the Mets, and he played for the Orioles, and he played for the Indians, and he when Charlie got the job, David had called me up. He goes, dude, he goes, you got to tell Charlie I was asking for him. You're going to go nuts. You're going to love him. So I was kind of in on him early because of David. And so we had struck up a friendship early in his tenure because we were both friends with Segui and that baseball thing, you know. But you're right. Both spoke the sport. And both were easygoing, kind of fun to be around guys. Charlie's kind of a man's man type of dude anyway.
That easy going gets you in the door.
Yeah.
You know, it gives you okay, this is a regular guy. We can give him a chance. You've got to back it up afterwards, though, because, you know, you get fired in a year, 2 years. Steve Wilks got fired in a year from Arizona.
Yeah, right. It's true. Do you want, by the way, speaking of Charlie, he's going to join us at 5 o'clock today. Do you know the Japan bath story?
No.
What?
No, you don't know.
Japan bath story.
Yeah.
No.
All right, good. All right. So I'll get him to tell the story again. It's one of my favorite stories he tells. When he's playing in Japan and they have the public baths in Japan.
Oh.
And then he gets in the hot bath.
Oh.
And then he looks up and there's like 100 women walking his way. Oh. I'll tell you the story. It's a great story. Well, I'll make him tell you. You'll crack up. I gotta get to West Philly. My man Sly in West Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Sly?
Hey, my man, man. How you doing?
What's
my
happening,
man?
Brother?
Hey, man. I don't get to talk to you much. I'm normally working.
I know, man. I miss you, Sly.
Yeah, you too, man. I miss you too. Yo, I want to talk a little bit about Carson Wentz and what Stephen A. Smith said.
Yeah.
Because then, to a degree, you gotta look at it like this. It's not just that he won Super Bowl. He beat Tom Brady, and he outdueled Tom Brady. Sometimes it's about your opponent. And had he won a Super Bowl like Trent Dilfer or Brad Johnson, people wouldn't feel the same way about him.
Yes, you're right.
If you beat the guy who's considered to be the greatest of all time, and you beat him when they came back on you, where Matt Ryan and them had folded the year before, and he came right down 75 yards and took the lead, that's legendary stuff. And for Carson Wentz to be able to overcome that, he's going to have to be great because they gave him so much talent. He is the Eagles have never had that much talent. As talented as they are now, I've never seen this much talent offensively before. So Carson is going to have to ball out.
No, you're right. You're right on, man. I agree with you. I love the dude, but he's got to ball out. That's totally correct, 100%. You think about it, and you nailed it. You know, Foles comes in, and on the biggest stage, like, who throws for almost 500 yards? Like, what are you kidding me? Like that, and the big throws and the teardrop throws that he's making. I was the biggest skeptic anyway. I cried when Wentz went down. But, I mean, my man came up, you know, There's a reason why BDA.
He came up bigger than anybody because there was it's unexpected. And like I said, if you beat Tom Brady, even when Eli beat him, their defense beat him more than Eli. Nick Foles had to really come down and outdo him. They had to score 41 points. So that's why he's legendary. And Nick Foles has so many Eagles records. You don't even look at it like that, but he holds so many Eagles records, and he got a couple of NFL records, even though you wouldn't even look at it like that. But you got to look at him in his totality and what he did that year. That's why Carson has to ball out.
No, I agree, man. And he's got to be so good. Like, he's got to be great. And when you got those weapons, I think back, right? So the best Eagles offense is why? 04, when you got B. West, you got T.O.?
Yeah.
Right?
They got way more weapons than that now. They really do across the board. As far as their tight ends and their receivers, running backs. And we
forget about Alshon, right? Like, drop aside. Alshon is a hell of a receiver. He's a terrific receiver.
A lot of them guys, man.
I know.
So when you look at it, and even if he wins Super Bowl, he's going to have to beat Patrick Mahomes or somebody like that. You're going to have to ball out to the point where they like, this guy's actually the greatest quarterback.
I got to tell you, I want to see Eagles Chiefs so bad.
So do
I want to say it. I want to say it. Although my boy Spags is on the other side now, but I want to say it. I would love to see that. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Sly, great stuff, brother.
All right, man.
Right?
I don't have tickets, man.
Come on.
I don't.
All this time you had no tickets?
No, man. I told you I ain't had a chance to be on the radio, right?
All right. Well, hold on, man. I'll get you whatever you want. All right. Hold on.
Okay.
You got it. FanFest Saturday. Xfinity Live. It's going to be popping. By the way, the weather is supposed to be magical.
Oh, beautiful. Thank God. Thank God. Right? Last year was hot.
Yeah, no, it was like so hot. Mm-hmm.
We're taking that on now so we can have a nice day Saturday.
Yeah.
77, 78, whatever the heck it's going to be. But like sunshine, perfect. And how about the AI?
I can't believe it.
Deshaun? I mean, that's a lineup.
Tobias?
I know, I love Tobias. Tobias, I think we'll fall for Tobias.
This season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think he's going to put up some big numbers.
Yeah.
I think he's still got a little bit more ceiling, so I think he's got a little bit more growth in him. He finally feels like he's an integral part of the team.
Right. They locked him in.
Yeah. So, before, you know, he was a guy that was so valuable that you traded him.
Right.
And now, like, he's into his own, and I think playing alongside Embiid and Ben, I think, is perfect for him.
I can't wait for basketball season now either.
I know. Hey, you know what I'm going to ask for? Tyler. Thank you! The song, baby!
Soon.
I got to get an updated Sixers tattoo. You know, I have one on my back.
I was unaware of that.
Yes, yeah, it's I got it, but it's the old... It's hard.
What is
now.
It?
It's the old symbol I got. The AI. It's the AI one.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
I love Pat Croce. So Pat's the best, right? So, you know, when Pat was running the team and had the logo, we made a wager. It was just an excuse for me to get a Sixers tattoo on my back. And so we got a bunch of people and who got them with me. And it was a lot of fun. It was like the year it was the year before they went to the finals. But I got to get it updated because now it's like I love the old school logo and the snake.
Right.
But I got to get it covered up.
You're going to cover it up.
Yeah, and I junked it up too.
Not going to go in a different spot?
I junked it up. I can't do two six
shoulder or.
I can't.
That would just be so funny.
I don't know. Marco Bellinelli had like Mario on his arm. You could probably get anything you want.
what about like the Mike Scott hive? You know how everybody's getting those little bee tattoos with the headbands?
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. But I just want the old logo over atop the newer one.
Someone can do that for you.
It's bad. I junked it up too. I put the skyline in the background.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it's horrible. I got the
you
worst
have a bad tattoo.
I got worse. Horrible tattoos. I have the worst tattoos in the history of tattoos. The worst. I put him up with the worst ever. I got a bad boot of Italy on my calf, which is cliche enough that I got when I was like 18 years old.
I was going to say, you had to be like 20 when you got that.
Yeah, yeah, it was terrible, yeah. Right? It was bad. They're like, Sicily's on the wrong side. It's terrible.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Oh, it's awful. It's terrible. It's terrible. I have a Grim Reaper with an ink pen on my one shoulder, which
is
yeah, it's terrible. It's awful. The bad barbed wire. Awful.
Oh, you have a barbed wire tab?
I gotta get rid of that.
Yeah. That's very, very 90s.
I have the worst tattoos today. Right.
It's very 90s of you.
History, I gotta get a sleeve just to cover up how bad it is.
Oh, man.
Terrible. Terrible. All right. 610-632-0975 is how you reach us. It's the Mike Missanelli Show. I'm Cuz. It's Tyler. It's Nat. We're, of course, on 97.5 The Fanatic at NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show. The Fanatic.
I just looked out because, of course, we're locked in our studios, and I took a walk, a meander. It's pouring.
Is it?
Yeah.
How do you know it was supposed to rain?
Pouring.
It's our daily monsoon.
Yeah.
We get one like once a day.
Yeah. Like, be careful driving, because it just kind of dawned on us that it was just absolutely pouring out.
I would have never known.
Yeah, well, we're kind of locked up.
Mm-hmm.
All we see, I see Mikey's face.
That's it. That's all you see in the studio is Mike's face everywhere.
Oh, we miss him. It's the Mike Missanelli Show. I'm Anthony Gargano in for Mike. Tyler is in for Tyrone. And Natalie's in for herself.
Here I am.
Right here on NBC Sports Philly and 97.5 The Fanatic. All right, guys. So, quickly, for FanFest, what's the biggest thing you like the most about it? Because they're like, you name it. It's Eric Camille, who is our assistant program director here, does an incredible job with FanFest.
This year,
it's amazing what he does.
And this year is only going to be, it's going to take it to the next level this year. I don't know how we're going to top this year next year, but yeah. It just keeps getting better every year. My favorite part still is when we greet people.
That's the best.
Everybody comes in. And this year, Mike's ringing the bell.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that'll be neat.
Yeah, that's really good.
Very ceremonial.
Yeah, when you get a chance to put a caller's face to a voice, you know, you talk to them all the time, but a lot of these people, you don't know what they look like until FanFest, and then you can put that face to a voice.
Like, I always say this, right? So, I'm a writer by trade, right? So, I still write, and still, hopefully, a couple projects are on the way. We'll see. But I love radio because of its warmth. Writing is a cold medium, right? So I write it, somebody reads it, and, you know, unless it's a comment section, which is never fun, you don't really get any feedback, right? Like, very rarely. Right. This is that you get to know people. You talk to them. So Sly, who from West Philly, called up earlier. I love Sly. Like, Sly's been calling me for almost, I've been on here for almost 20 years, and he's been calling me ever since.
Right, you just go through life with people.
And I'm like, yo, stop. Like, you hear people, like, you know, and you get excited. Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What's up?
You have friends, they grow up, they get married, they have kids. It's like you go through life with these people.
And, you know, doing it here in your hometown, it's so much fun because, you know, you get to share. Let's face it. Like, you know, when I was a journalist, I can't talk about the Eagles the way I want to talk about the Eagles. I can't go, hey, Tyler, play the fight song. You know?
Right.
You can't do that. Tyler, play the fight song. All right, close your eyes. What do you see, Nat?
I see Carson Wentz.
In your mind's eye, you see Carson Wentz throwing.
Throwing.
Touchdown.
Touchdown, Deshaun.
Touchdown, Deshaun. There you go.
Big explosive play.
All right.
That's what I see.
I've got 12 formation. Goddard and Ertz cross across 12. The middle.
I love it.
Hits him right over the middle in stride. Zach Ertz.
I love it. Going 12, man. I love that. What they can do, and I'm really curious what Doug will do, because he's a creative offensive guy. So I just only imagine when you have an array of weapons like he does, how they're going to deploy them all.
Like it's just going to be one thing after the next. That's what's going to be so exciting.
I know. And, you know, the fact they can run it, like, they actually can run the football.
Yes.
That's another. Their four-minute offense to close out games should be really effective.
Yeah.
Who's the back in that situation?
I got to stop. I guess Jordan Howard.
Howard?
Yeah. You know. I mean, I'm like everybody else. I'm sure like you, Mr. Penn State. You and Mikey and Jason, all PSU people, all excited for Miles.
Yes, yes, I am. You know, I don't want to do the downer. He wasn't the guy I wanted. But
really?
I'm thrilled to have him, yes.
Who did you want?
I wanted the guy that the Bears ended up drafting. And now his name is blank. It's slipping my mind. So I get put on the spot and I look stupid.
I've been on the Sanders train.
Yeah?
I'm on it. I've been on it. He's my bold prediction for the season.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Speaking of Bears running backs,
mm-hmm.
did you guys see Cedric Benson died?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I love Cedric, but coming out of Texas?
That's so sad.
David Montgomery, by the way.
Yeah, from Iowa.
That's the one I wanted from Iowa State.
Iowa State, yeah. I liked him, too, David Montgomery. Actually, he was my choice as well. Cedric Benson. Tragic.
Yeah.
Motorcycle accident.
So sad.
And he was a great runner at Texas. He was incredible. Let's go to Matt in the Northeast. Matt, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Matthew.
Hey, Anthony. How you doing? Welcome back.
Thank you, Matty. What's happening, brother?
I have two points, I guess. One is a capper point, of course. I think everybody has that point. But I was watching the Little League World Series this weekend. And you can draw a lot of comparisons from the way the Little League managers manage and the way Kapler manages. It's like the same thing. You know, they had them all mic'd up when they go out there onto the mound to relieve a pitcher. I'm waiting for Eflin to have a bad outing and start crying as he walks off the mound. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
I watched New Jersey. I watched Jersey play Hawaii.
Jersey got hammered by Hawaii.
Yeah.
They had a good showing, though.
Yeah, they did. I was rooting for them.
Yeah.
It was funny.
They were blowing people out.
I know.
I'm sort of surprised that Hawaii had that much of a, you know, was that dominant.
Where was Tom's River? What was it? Where are they
That's
from?
Jersey.
Yeah.
They're not from Tom's River. Yeah. I'm not exactly sure where they are in Jersey.
But it was funny. So I have a little one who's six, Massimo, Matt, and...
Yeah,
he was watching the game, so I he was into it, and he's a little baseball player, so I was excited. So I sat down, and I just kind of was quiet as he was watching it, and it was pretty cool.
Hey, I'll tell you what, it's really good baseball. I mean, it's really good baseball. It's just basic, you know what I mean, raw baseball.
Yeah,
there's none of, you know what I mean. It's just good stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, and I have a I think I have a violation for it. I need to make a ruling on this.
Sure.
Okay, so my wife goes to a funeral last week. One of her friend's husbands passed away. He was about probably like 45-ish, somewhere in that range. Anyway, so his friend, his best friend, now the guy that passed away is a Penn State fan, okay? Lifelong Penn State fan, went to Penn State, everything Penn State. His best friend was a Pitt fan, went to Pitt, everything's about Pitt. And they had a really good rivalry their entire lives, apparently. So when the guy from Pitt goes up to give his eulogy, he has a bag with him. He pulls out of the bag a Penn State jersey and puts the Penn State jersey on and says, for one day, he's going to be a Penn State fan. Violation or no?
I mean, I can't call violation on a man's eulogy.
Come on. Now, let me ask you this. What if it was you, big Eagles fan, and your friend, who was a Dallas fan, passed away? Would you don a Dallas jersey?
No.
And I don't think you can. I don't think you can separate the two. We may have to go to the jury on this one. I don't know.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll put it to the jury, Matt. And listen, I'm too soft for this subject, right?
The first thing I thought, my wife got mad at me, but I said that is a total violation. Now, seriously, if that guy was my friend, I would come out of my grave and probably smack him in the mouth. I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, come on, you can't do that.
So what? So you put on the Pitt jersey as you're giving the eulogy?
Seriously, you can't do that. I don't care if it's one day or
Let me go to the jury.
Total violation.
All right, I'll go to the jury, Matty. You got it. I can't be that harsh, man. We're talking about a man's eulogy.
I'm pretty soft as well, and I feel like it would be a funny tribute, especially if my friends knew, if my friend was a Dallas fan and they were doing my eulogy and they put on an Eagles jersey, I'd be like, it's about time.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know, man. I can't kill a guy. I can't give a violation to the dude.
I can't do
Maybe
it.
You're a Penn State man.
I can't
right.
do
Maybe
it.
Maybe that's
and,
why.
And listen, Pitt's not even the rival with Penn State anymore. It's right. more Ohio State, Michigan. But if I were at a funeral and someone said to me, hey, put this Cowboys jersey on for your buddy, I'd rather put on a skirt, a kilt, and run right. around in a princess outfit, then wear a Cowboys jersey. I can't do it.
Can you super? I want to get Tyler superimposed with a princess outfit.
We'll get it out on the Twitter page.
I hear you, man. I can't be.
No, I can't either.
I'm sorry, brother. Matt. We'll throw it out to the people, but I just can't. This guy's eulogy, man. They're best friends. It's a thing between the two. That's harsh. That's mighty harsh.
Yeah.
I kind of respect it. The guy's opinion, Matt, it's kind of harsh. But
yeah.
I can't. I can't.
Uh-uh.
All right. We have an update on the Twitter poll brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Son. Do we have anything?
Yes. Let me see.
Let's get our update.
Okay. Today's poll has over 900 votes on it. Anthony was in Disney all week and saw a ton of Philly sports gear when you go out, especially when you're out of town. Which team do you rep the most? 63% say the Eagles, 14% say the Sixers, 17% going Phillies, 6% going Flyers. So Eagles still dominating the poll.
There you go. All right. And our 3 o'clock hour brought to you by Corporally's Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays. Every bit as good. All right, Nat, take it away.
The Mike Missinelli Show. It's 97.5, The Fanatic.
So damn proud.
All right, 347. See Mike Missinelli Show, man, Anthony Gargano. Mike, you'll be back Wednesday. Is that correct?
Yes.
He's shorn it the last couple days.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to have after the storm, this little heat spell hits. And then all of a sudden, we're going to have some great weather come in.
Thank the Lord.
And then we're at 20 days now to countdown. 20 days until Eagles, until EAGLESN.
Can you feel the fall air? Can't you just, feel it right now?
Yeah, I know. I'm waiting for it. That whole first, that when the Canadian air kind of whooshes in, and it kind of is clean and crisp.
Yeah, and it smells good, and the leaves are starting to fall.
Yeah, all of it in Philadelphia is incredible.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's like, let's get out.
Yep.
I just can't wait for the season.
Me too.
I know. It's so stupid. I feel like I've been wishing away summer since June. Since the quadruple doink, I feel like I've been wishing away summer.
Yeah, it's like, let's just get
Ever
through
since
this.
Kawhi Leonard, doink, 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 doink,
mm-hmm.
I've been wishing away summer.
Don't wish it away too fast, because I don't need that gray snow slush nonsense that piles up on 76.
Yeah, Yeah. By the way, your father sent you a message.
Yeah, he must have tuned in at the right time, because I have a 4-year-old sister, and he responded with, would you like to borrow one of Haley's princess outfits? In response to, I'd rather wear
princess
that than a Cowboys
Tyler.
Jersey.
I like Princess Tyler. It kind of fits.
I'm the next Disney character.
That's right. There you go, man. Yeah, so we were down there for the NBA experience. And we were talking about it. It was uncanny. Do me a favor. If you have your favorite piece of Philadelphia 4-for-4 clothing, what is it? Tell me what it is. Because I swear I saw everywhere. It was unbelievable how many, Philadelphia sports t-shirts and jerseys. You name it. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. I have a ton of pieces.
What's your favorite?
Well, my favorite one, just because it's like a prized possession, is my Donovan McNabb customized jersey that was handed down to me by my godmother.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a little bit of like a family heirloom. She went in back in the day when they used to customize all the jerseys. She has, it's cut off the shoulder and it's like a little bit of a crop top.
Yeah?
It's super cute. Yeah, my cousin Elaine. So when I turned 21, she gave it to me.
Oh, Elaine gave it to cousin
Elaine?
Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah, so she like passed it down. So that's like my most prized possession. It still hangs in my closet, but I have a ton of stuff.
What do you wear? Like your favorite? Like Tyler, you got anything you wear that you...
I don't know if I have a favorite Philadelphia gear, just because I do more, like I said, the jersey than the actual jersey, because they get hot. You know, especially in the summer,
well,
they're tough to wear.
It could be t-shirt, it could be anything.
I like the dry fit stuff. You know, like the Under Armour dry fit. Big fan of those.
All right. Let me get to Rick. You're on 97.5 Fanatic. We say, Ricky.
Anthony, how are you, sir?
Yeah. What's happening, brother?
Not much, man. I go back to with you like. You said you've been in radio for like 20 years. I go back
almost. Yeah, buddy.
Oh man. It's great listening to you all the time.
Thanks, bro.
Four
appreciate
for four
that.
All the way, brother.
Oh, man.
Four for four. You're talking about like your most prized possession. Well, I still got my starter Eagles hoodie.
Do you really?
From, like, when I was like 10 years old. Yeah,
it's that's
still
awesome.
In the closet, dry clean, ready to go, man.
That's cool, man.
And I am geeked up, man. I am geeked up. I am like, I can't watch the films anymore, man. I don't want to say I'm out, but it's just like I'm not it.
I know. It's
you know
tough.
What I mean?
Like, they're more, it's not a chore as much as you're kind of passing time. Like, you don't have, I always equate it to like butterflies, right? Like, when there's a big game, and it could be anything. It could be Sixers playoff, Flyers playoff, whatever it is. You get those butterflies. You can't wait for the game to start. And I'll tell you, when 08 and 07, 08, 09, during that run, you couldn't wait until 7 o'clock, right? Like, you couldn't wait until they started raking. There are crooked numbers everywhere. I couldn't wait to put on Comcast Sports at NBC Philly now, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, forget about the 7 o'clock games. I'd skip out of work early just to watch a 1 o'clock
game. Right.
Back
that's
in 08
right.
and all.
That's right.
And real quick, because I know I don't have a lot of time, but listen, I just, you know, you're a wordsmith and whatnot. I'm just, like, thinking of, like, painting the landscape right now of Philly sports moving forward with the Eagles in 20 days and the Sixers going in October. Like, I am geeked up, man. I cannot wait.
Yeah, it's so different because we've never experienced where we've had the Eagles and the Sixers both be title contenders at the same time.
We
never had that. Like, this is uncharted waters. This is time, like, where I just want to enjoy it, too. Like, I you know, we're talking about fast forward in the summer, Rick, and all that stuff. I don't want to do that with when the season starts. I don't want to look to the Super Bowl. Like, I don't want to look to the NBA Finals. I just want to enjoy the offense. I want to enjoy both those teams just playing.
Absolutely. In the winter, you know what I mean? Like, the cold days, watching the Eagles go, and that North Dakota kid slinging that ball. I can't wait.
Where's he going to be? I'm dying to fight, like, Wentz. What kind of year is he going to have? Like, he's got to have a big year.
Year, man.
Yeah.
As long as he stays upright, I don't think he has. But he's got too many weapons.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love number 10. I love number 10 saying we're going to save that long pass for the first week.
I know. I love the Sean. I know. And you know what's great about him too, Rick, is that he's dying. Like, he loves being back.
Oh, yeah.
He loves
it. He doesn't
want
to leave. No.
I know. And that gives, and thanks, brother. That's what gives me hope that, you know, because he always gets nicked up. He always gets, even these smaller guys going to get nicked up a little bit. But I think he is so hell bent on having a big year. Like, I don't see him missing a lot of games. I think he wants it bad. The only person I think who wants it worse is Carson. Right? Like, you're him, and you watched the Super Bowl. All he's doing is tape, film room, just immersing himself.
I've got to imagine all he wants to do is take that knee with like 12 seconds left and then, you know, just get to start to celebrating.
Yeah. That's why I'm glad. I don't know what was the temperature like with him not playing in the preseason, but I'm good with it.
I don't need it. Yeah, I don't need him playing.
What was the prevailing notion for the people?
It was more they wanted to see him until the second injury.
Yeah.
And then it was like, nope, yeah. put him in bubble wrap. That's it.
Let him sit.
So I got freaked out in that with the Sudfeld injury.
Yeah, I was freaked out too.
Said, you know what? That's it. We don't need it. You can't mess around. And by the way, look, you know, those games don't mean anything anyway. I mean, they're good enough that they're going to be in, they're going to make the playoffs, barring, you know, catastrophe.
Anything crazy, yeah. Right.
So, you know, you got Washington. Washington, you know how bad Washington is?
Right.
I mean, that's a bad
football team. They're like rebuilding. They're trying to figure out how to rebuild.
Yes,
but they won't tell you that, though.
Both them and the Giants, they're
in building phases. They're not in like.
Cowboys will be decent.
Cowboys will be, I mean.
They'll be good.
Yeah.
But those other two teams are bad.
Yeah.
Bad.
They're not.
Bad teams.
I don't even think they're blips on our map, to be honest.
So, you know, you play it out. You should be able to win rust, no rust in your opener. I mean, you got veterans everywhere.
Well, veterans everywhere, and I'm confident because they, you know, reinforce the offensive line to make sure that no one's even going to get near him to try and get him down.
Yeah.
I'm confident in that, too.
Yeah. I mean, they need to stay healthy, but, yeah. Well, and they need to get healthy. I mean, yes. Brandon Brooks is a huge part of that line.
I think everything indicates that he's going to be ready.
Yeah. I know. It's amazing.
That Achilles.
Yeah. That's incredible. Incredible he came back from that. Amazing. All right, we've got a big 4 o'clock hour ahead. Tim McManus will join us and give us his training camp report. So we'll talk to T-Mac coming up at 4:10. The Skip, Charlie Manuel, join us at straight up 5 o'clock. That's all straight ahead on the Mike Missanelli Show, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.